KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Eggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
It's 7:40 a.m. again on a Thursday. And we are ready for a great show to come up here. I hope is looking forward to this as much as I am, because I like talking to this guy. You know what? Oh, did I have a frog? Sorry about that, everyone. I meant to do it this way, kind of. It just didn't come out this way. Facebook pops up this morning, and this picture of this guy holding a walleye. I don't know what lake he was on. I mean, there's all these rocks, jetties coming out. I've never seen this spot. He's holding up this little walleye. What was that, a 10-incher? And it's his birthday today.
Nine.
9 pounds. That's a fat. Nice, cool picture. Happy birthday to our one and only Neil Jensen.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, yes. So what's going on for real news today?
I'm going fishing.
You know what? There's not a one of us in here. If we were to run for Supreme Court justice and actually get nominated, none of us. I don't think there's a man in the world that's going to be able to get through the gauntlet.
No, but my confirmation hearing would be something to be proud of. That would be good.
Ooh, the skeletons are coming.
Jesus.
Halloween is close.
I don't believe that poor guy.
That poor guy getting his. I mean, those poor gals.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody.
There's nobody going to come out of that unscathed. I just feel, why would you ever want to do that?
Well, at 9 o'clock, you'll know why you won't want to do that.
Yeah, that's for
everybody
sure.
Else going to sit on the sidelines from now on. And then guess what we get to do? Go fishing today.
That's right.
Not me, but you.
I'm fishing all day.
I'm going farming today.
Are you?
And we're going to go fishing with Bill Shimoda. Good morning, Bill Shimoda. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing good.
Golly.
Except I'm not going fishing today either, unfortunately.
You get to go fishing soon, I hope, because there's a little bit. Bill Shimoda is an all-around guy. The guy can run a combine. The guy can farm. The guy can fix. He's an electrician. He's a boat rigger. He's a tournament guide. A guide on the Mississippi River mostly, and he gets around in the tournament world, and everybody likes this guy. That's what I kind of... That's it. That's
he should run for Supreme Court.
Hey, have you ever thought about that, Bill?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be getting in there anytime soon.
Hey, you still have time. You're only 35 years old. You can still get your law degree and get up through the ranks.
Yeah, I think we'll leave that one alone. I got my hands full already.
You do. You know, kids are more fun, aren't they? At least they don't have to go up in front of the camera and go, "Daddy did what?"
Yeah, I'd have to watch the news and the kids tease him.
He did what when he was 17 years old? Really? Sounds normal.
What's funny is it must not have been a tough teenage years, because he can remember it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Somebody remembers it. Most of my crew couldn't remember anything we did back then, so we're fine.
I think the problem was that the ladies got drunk. What'd they do, shove all that alcohol down their throats?
I think they were drunk last week.
Yeah. Oh, Bill, guess what, though? I think a way easier subject to talk about is fishing. And fishing stories, they just kind of go on and on. What's been happening to your world lately when it comes to fishing?
Well, kind of on the tail end of things here. You know, wrapping up another fairly good season. I feel like I had it doesn't feel like it was a great season, but actually, you know, thinking about it the other day, I did other than one really, really, really bad tournament out in Saginaw Bay this year, my worst tournament of my life. I really don't know what happened. It was a call tournament. There was no excuses why things didn't go the way they did. But anyway, you're going to have them. And other than that, it was a really good year. Cashed a check in every event, including the Champions Tour event here at the end of the year. And yeah, pretty much done with tournaments. I got a little... one of my favorite ones actually coming up this weekend. My high school buddies and I have kept this tradition now for, I believe it's 13 years, where we all get together, about 18 of us or so, and have a little bass tournament, little lake up by Mille Lacs. So looking forward to that, and a little guiding left, too, in October down in Mississippi. Of course, we've got some bad storms and such lately that the river shot up again, but it should be in good shape here in a few weeks.
You know, Bill, you and I have seen a lot of lead core trollers in our days. There's a lot of experienced lead core guys. Lead core just catches fish, but the last three tournaments that we've watched in the pro-am circuits, not in the team circuits, the pro-am circuits have been won by 21, 19-year-old. The last three tournaments have been won by young lead core trollers. Unbelievable. Kind of makes a guy think, what have I been doing differently, or should I do differently than what I've done for the last 20 years pulling lead core?
Right. You know, it's funny you say that. I just was thinking for a second there. You know, that's one of the ways that I paved my way into professional fishing. I was a troller. I was a crankbait guy. And it's one of them deals where it just works, you know, and it's something that a particular individual might just be confident in, and that's what they do. And a lot of times, if you go take that into any body of water and just stick with it, I mean, you're gonna succeed. And obviously, we saw that this year a lot. Lake of the Woods, of course, the majority of people were trolling lead core, but the Devil's Lake deal, Dylan Nussbaum, you know, winning that out, East Devils, that was pretty cool to see. And you think back, that also kind of reminds me of Ron Seelhoff. Really, look what he did when he was just trolling everywhere, you know. I mean, he was dominating the PWT there for a few years. So maybe it was just because the schedule lined up that way this year. But, yeah, it's great to see these young guys, for sure. We need them. I mean, look at the guys that are going to be retiring this year, you know. So got to have the young guys. You know, I hate to see young guys in taking the money, but they're so important for the sport, and great to see. Made a lot of new little friends here the last few years, so things are great.
Yeah. I might have mistaken there. I guess that Dylan, he might have been jigging, actually, on Mille Lacs on this. I didn't see a ton of publicity on the Champions Walleye Circuit Tournament for Mille Lacs, but it sounded like, based on a Facebook interview or two, that was probably jigging and not as much lead core as what we thought it was going to be.
Yep, he was, some guys were trolling lead, but that format, Major League Fishing format, I mean, trolling isn't necessarily the best way to go about it. Trolling lead core was definitely catching fish on wax, there's no question. But, yeah, he had this little magical spot in the first half where he was casting them some type of glide bait. I think it was a flat jig, what they call it. It's like a heavier jigging wrap. And he was casting that around like 10, 12 feet of water and kind of this rock weed mix kind of area. And man, there must have been a lot of walleyes in there because he was just putting on a show. But that was a lot of fun. I got off to a good start that morning. I was in the lead for, you know, a good first hour or more. You know, in that format, we were able to watch the score tracker. And to be honest with you, I thought I was going to win. I'm like, I get to fish these flats all day, and I'm catching them really good now. And they're all big. My first five went over 25 pounds, and I was on top of the world. Well, all of a sudden, my lead was gone, and all of a sudden, I was down by 5, 10, almost 20 pounds going into the half. So
yeah,
definitely made it interesting.
Were you jigging or trolling or throwing slip bobbers, smart bobbers?
I was. Well, I couldn't use live bait, so I was mostly throwing a Johnny Darter, and I did catch a few fish trolling slow death. And again, we couldn't use live bait, so I was trolling my two favorite baits on the slow death are the 4-inch gulp crawler and the watermelon pearl, and then I also really love pulling twitch tail minnow.
Don't be sharing that twitch tail.
Yeah, that's actually, I started doing that out your direction. Lake Oahu.
That's a dandy little soft bait. Man,
awesome on a slow death. I love them.
you don't need live bait.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, so that was kind of the bait I would go to to relocate, you know, so I'd try to mark little packs of fish. You know, you mark one here, one there, everywhere out there, but I only, if I wanted to stop and cast, I wanted to see 3, 4, 5 on the screen at once, and once in a while you just had to relocate them. So, yeah, Mille Lacs is awesome, and it's alive and well. You hear all this negative stuff about that lake, and I really haven't been up there a whole lot in the last few years. I haven't fished a tournament up there in years, and to actually go dissect that lake again and see, its condition, it's amazing. They're everywhere. They're on the mud, they're on the rocks, they're in the weeds. I had some weed fish I never did get a chance to fish. They were just absolutely loaded. So it was great to get back to that body of water that basically cut my teeth on, for sure.
We have a few people joining us. Good morning, Jay Johnson, Lucas Nichols. Stephen Peach said hi, Billy, a little bit ago on Facebook Live. A lot of people like Bill Shimoda, but you know, not all of us have kept up with what's been happening. You've gone into doing a bit of boat rigging, and there's a lot of us that love to hear what's new in the boat rigging world and what things are being tried differently. What are you seeing, Bill, in boat rigging and just techniques that have changed here in the last few years based on equipment, maybe based on way fish have changed?
Well, yeah, a lot of it is, different ways to set up transducers and ammonia or graphs and such that they make them a little more user-friendly and things like that. For years I've done my own, as an electrician, naturally, I rigged my own boats forever. And then I started doing riggings for some buddies. And then just in the last few years, kind of really, last couple of years, turned it into an actual business where I got a shop at home here and I'm able to help guys out, get their boats rigged. And I don't want to say anything bad about any of the boat dealers or anything like that or out. I'm not here to compete with anybody or anything like that, but I just get it. I'm in that boat 100 days a year, and I know where things need to go. And a lot of it too, transducer placement, getting the best performance out of everything. It's stuff that we've tweaked for years, as tournament anglers. I just enjoy it. And I enjoy making people's boats work the way they're supposed to work. Because, a lot of these systems, we'll call them, are getting pretty complicated too. It used to be a matter of putting a transducer on and hooking positive, negative, turn it on, and you go. Well, now we got all this networking business going on, and you're running 2-3 graphs, even 4 graphs in a boat. And you got Ethernet, and you got NEMA 2000, and you got structure scan, and you got regular sonar, and you got so much stuff going on that kind of gets over the head of the average person. So yeah, it's just found an opportunity to help some people out and make some money and maybe even a living.
You hit the nail on the head with some of these different transducers. I mean, the boat dealership, they spend their time selling boats. They've got usually a rigger in the back, but he hasn't had time to get on the water as much as you have.
Never on the water anymore, unfortunately.
They're not. They have no time. I mean, it is just day in, day out. They're putting 12 hours a day in, and 7 days a week they don't get on the water as much. And you hit the nail on the head there. You just don't quite get those few little things that just need to be changed and updated and tested before we get these boats on the water. I don't want to put anyone on the spot here, but I will, Bill, because sometimes we don't really mind what people think of us. But when it comes to simplicity, when you talk all of these little network things, there's three main systems being put on boats: Lowrance, Humminbird, and Garmin's making a good run at it. And I think, Bill, I'm not mistaken, you used to be a Lowrance guy. I'm not sure if you will. So, I'm not looking for a biased answer, but is which one of those for the common person is still the easiest to handle as far as networking and installing?
I am with Lowrance still. Obviously, I've been with them since the beginning. But I will tell you this, that's one thing in this business. We'll never say bad things about the competition. And for that matter, too, I do rig all those brands, you know, I won't have somebody call and say, oh, no, I'm not going to put a Hummingbird in the boat, because they all make good stuff. You know, it's kind of like Ford, Chevy, Dodge kind of stuff.
But and the rage goes on, and the battles go on, right?
So, you know, they all make good stuff, and it all has its problems from time to time. But, you know, I have heard this several times. If you have a chance to run them side by side, you know, people will tell you that Lowrance's sonar, their 2D sonar, seems to definitely be the best in the market. People like that Hummingbird Minn Kota combo, you know, with the link into the trolling motor and that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, we just did some training, and in a few days here, October 1st, Lowrance is going to be releasing their new stuff. We'll say it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. So, you know, can't talk a whole lot about that at this point, but I mean, it's become a competition, obviously, between all the companies. You know, if they come out with this, they got to come out with that, which is good for us, but
of really good competition in this right now. And it's, you know, the engineers and the designers and the marketing side of things have really, really taken this stuff to a new level, and taken stuff that was thousands of dollars a few years ago, and actually some of it's pretty affordable for what you get.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah, having the three has really been a good thing. It's just that a lot of people ask a lot of questions about installation because they kind of want to do some of the stuff themselves, and there was challenges installing this thing, and you get to a location and the doggone thing wasn't working. You had to put a different ohmmeter on this end. And you know, those things, I know there are some of that's in the past, but you know, there's just issues with this stuff, and simplification just seems to actually be going with it right now.
And that's why you want to get a fisherman to rig your boat. You know, those dealerships do a great job and they put the stuff in to make it look good, but not necessarily make it work good. And that's why when somebody's got some boat time to be rigging these boats.
Well, the thing about Bill and what he's seen with the guys that he's, you know, working with and other guys, because you get to see a lot of things not hold up to the tests. Yeah. And rough water is the biggest test of anything on this equipment, Bill.
For sure.
Well, I don't know. That graph mounted in the front of my four-wheeler gets a workout every winter. That thing, if it still runs every year, I'm amazed.
Oh boy, that is good. Yeah, that thing, that ice fishing graph does get working out too.
But the, you know, that's how many times you've been sitting in your boat and had just wish you could tweak something a couple inches. And if you somebody that knows how to run a boat can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you know, you're going
along.
Go ahead, Bill.
Along those lines, you know, rough water, one of the greatest products I've seen, you know, the last several years, the stable mount, electronics mount. And wow. Those things are
so
awesome.
Right.
I mean, absolutely love them.
And that was designed by Jim, who saw a lot of headaches while traveling around the country and fishing. Jim Priesner, wasn't he part of the design on that?
Yeah, he was the original. He was the original maker of it. Kind of, he's seen a piece of equipment that he dealt with on his 9-to-5 job, and he kind of turned that into an electronics mount, and just kind of went with it, you know. And they've tweaked it 100 times since, and it's good stuff. There's absolutely no question. You know, he doesn't necessarily market them a whole lot, but. That's another thing. There's some exciting things coming with that company, too, here in the next year or so. Great stuff. I mean, there's no need to get any other mount. You put that on, and you leave it there, and it's easy to get off if you need to. And, yeah, it's good stuff. And especially the weight of some of these new units, you know, of all brands. They're so heavy is that, you know, you need something good to keep them on there, keep them safe. And so, yeah, it's good stuff for sure.
Well, I'd like to get your information to everyone. as far as rigging and guiding on the Mississippi River area of Minnesota. That Red Wing area, I believe, is kind of the area you hang out in, but you correct us if we're wrong. Let's get some information out there to everyone, Bill, on how to connect with you and what we do when we need something here in the last few seconds.
Sure. Well, I don't have my social media pages published yet, but my company is called XL Angling. And, you know, as far as right now, the best way to get a hold of me is just through my Facebook page at Bill Shimoda or Instagram, Billy Scholes. Otherwise, my phone number, 952-564-1016. And, yeah, I'm down just south of the Twin Cities in Northfield. I have a Northfield address just south of the Twin Cities, about 20 miles. And yeah, as far as the guiding, mostly Mississippi River, Red Wing. I fish pools 3 and 4. And, you know, I want to do more on Mille Lacs and things like that. I just, I've got a 1.5 and a 3.5-year-old at home, and the reality of leaving home any more than I already do for tournaments is just, it's not a reality, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Life is busy with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see where it goes.
We've seen many that have changed their priorities to fishing from those priorities in life, and it didn't work out so well. So on that note,
it's time to go.
Billy, thank you for joining us today on the Water in the Air from Watertown, South Dakota. Replayed tomorrow morning. Saturday morning on KS93 right here in. The studios in Watertown, South Dakota. Good morning, and we're going to send this thing over to Randy before I spin my tongue 20 times.
All right, thanks.